Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The Thursday edition. It's Friday at Lambeau Field, but it's Thursday on our show, and the Packers play on Saturday. And it's a big one. Edition. This might be a dumb question, but thanks, Jeff Hafley, for telling me my question wasn't dumb. Appreciate that. We'll hear that momentarily. Edition. And do we think it's binding that Jeff Hafley said he's putting it on not only Micah Parsons but himself for Parsons to break the sack record next year? Because that would mean he'd have to stay as the defensive coordinator for another season. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, he's the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. Great interview or great question with Jeff Hafley. And 30 years you've been doing this job. Is there anyone more impressive on the podium than Jeff Hafley that you've covered?
Only because he was at his locker, with the exception of after games. But Rodgers was probably better from a overall, if we include players.
Oh, no, I'm not saying interesting. I'm just saying
commanding the room.
No, I'm just saying being entertaining, but also telling you what it is. And just the, yeah, I guess the presence.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's the guy.
Thank you.
You're right.
I'll say this. I have been thoroughly impressed with Jeff Hafley from the moment he stepped to here. Mm-hmm. I think he's done a great job as the coordinator. You could tell he's a head football coach. And for Packer fans that were, I guess, teetering or kind of going through their process after Micah's injury and some of the other injuries that have happened, if you listen to him speak after all of that, you feel reassured. Mm-hmm. You feel like, all right, and that's part of being a front-facing person in your building is. And I came away so impressed again, because leadership and all of this, it is super easy when you're 9-1 and you're thumping people and you're playing great ball. You know when you need guys to be the way Jeff Hafley was yesterday? When you lose a critical piece to your team and there is doubt and your locker room is maybe, oh, I don't know which way, and your fan base is maybe a little, I don't know. I could not be more impressed. I'll be shocked if he is back as the D coordinator, because somebody in the NFL with all the job openings should hire him yesterday. And I don't want him to leave. I think he is a fantastic coordinator. I think he's going to be a fantastic head coach. But people would be idiots if they didn't hire Jeff Hafley. Period, end. I don't care if you need a defensive guy, an offensive guy. The dude's a leader, and he's got it. And we saw that yesterday in droves with not only your quest, just the whole deal. I couldn't have been more impressed with him yesterday.
As career moves go, because he wasn't fired at Boston College. He left a head coach.
He probably would have been. He probably would have been next year.
Right. Probably a year later, right? He probably had one more year there. But as moves go to, because we saw Chip Kelly do it, it did not work out as well for Chip Kelly. Leaving a head coaching job in the college game for a coordinator job in the National Football League. But as moves go, that he could not have made a smarter decision, right?
And Jason, that's part of being a great leader. You're hearing every college coach in America say how dysfunctional and just completely out of whack everything is. Some people don't have that option. Some people are getting paid too much. Like, I get why guys stay. But Jeff Hafley understood it and was the leader of his family and said, this is going to be a much better move for us as a family. And he's obviously been 1,000% right about that.
Yeah, as I told
Dude's
Gabe Neitzel.
Dude's impressive, man. He's an impressive dude.
As I told Gabe Neitzel this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 7-9 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, his only hope, because Gabe's in the same boat, like super, uber impressed, both inspired and dejected every time he hears Jeff Hafley speak. Because he loves what he's hearing, and he thinks, okay, but so is every team that's going to have a head coaching opening going to love. How do you not hire this guy? Same mentality. The only hope, if you are wanting him back for another year, is that the Giants do kind of a Giants-type thing and don't hire him, even though he grew up a Giants fan. His family still lives in New Jersey. He's clearly the kind of leader that they could use. And they decide to go offensive guy because of their offensive young core.
Mike McCarthy.
And he ends up saying what Ben Johnson did a year ago when coming out of the 2023 season, Ben Johnson had a bunch of interest in from teams. I think he was on a flight to go interview for the Washington Commanders job, and he said, turn this plane around. And said, no, I'm going to stay in Detroit another year and see what jobs are open next year. I would argue that's your only hope that he's back in 2026.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Unless, you know, Green Bay falls a little short. If Green Bay wins big and wins a championship, he gone. I think there's enough smart people. I do think we over-exaggerate how many smart people there are in the NFL. There are a lot of idiots, too. Just go ahead and look. And there's idiots everywhere. Hiring people. I'm not going to besmirch anybody, but, you know.
Yeah, please don't.
When you start looking at getting stadium deals done and all of this. Okay. Bottom line is, there are a lot
to.
Of people. There are a lot of people that aren't very smart that have kind of fallen into things. But for the most part, the NFL is a cutthroat business, but they know when there's talent and they see it, and there's enough smart organizations. Jeff Hafley needs to be a leader of one of these 32 teams. If he's not, it's going to be because he chooses not to. I don't know how. I guess anything is possible, but I would be shocked if he doesn't have a bunch of opportunities. And if he and every assistant coach I've ever met wants to eventually be in front of that room. I've never met one that's, unless they're 80 years old. They all think they want to be in front of that room leading, and that's how it should be. That's why you get into coaching.
Yep. So, totally agree with everything you said. I do want people to hear this exchange, which Jesse has at the top of the show.
He butterballed you up. He willed, willed.
He did willed. You don't get out-willed very often. But
I don't.
I got out-willed.
I don't. I totally did. Here is our exchange, complete with my colleague, Rob Domofsky.
Oh, he got you good.
Taking an unnecessary shot at
he
me during
so
the exchange.
Good.
You guys have a fascinating relationship, man.
It's one word
you
for
say
it.
You say Evan and I have a fascinating relationship, and we do. You and Domofsky, I think you could write a book about your guys' relationship. That's another story for another day.
Yeah, we don't have time for that today. We got a big game on Saturday night in Chicago. Here is Jeff Hafley at the podium yesterday.
Jeff, if this is dumb, please tell me.
Dude, I've known you now for 2 years. You have not asked me one dumb question.
First time for
everything. Now, if this one is dumb, I'm just not going to respond. You'll just see me turn over here and turn my head.
You should have been here the last 28 years.
Sorry. That's
all
right. Come on, shot at this one.
So, good line.
January to August 27th, you are building a defense that does not have Micah Parsons on it.
Yeah.
And then you get him and you told us about all your stuff you came up with. It. Is there... It sucks that you lost him. Mm-hmm. You wish you had him.
Yeah.
Is there anything from the experience of building your defense that you didn't know you were going to have this guy, this transformative player? Is there anything useful that comes out of those 8.5 months that now can apply? Or is that not true?
There's a lot. That's a great question. So, yes, there is a lot. But I'm not going to tell you any of those things. And I know you don't expect me to tell you any of those things. I mean, but all right, so the way I look at it, and I've said this to you guys before, I don't have a playbook where I say, this is the playbook, this is we're running, because we have the people in this room. Here's what I believe my job is to do. Figure out who's in the room and how to put those players in the best position to succeed. And each week, figure out the best way to win the game. And that's what I believe is my job to do as the defensive coordinator. So if we have a certain player with the skill set, I need to figure out how to use it to take advantage of what we need to do to win. Different players, whatever we need to do to win. If that's new scheme, it's new scheme. If it's putting guys in new positions, it's putting them in new positions. If it's putting certain guys in position to make more plays, that's my job. And it doesn't matter how long I have, I need to figure it out. And that's what we're looking to do.
That is Jeff Hafley yesterday. We've got a few other clips we want to play from him as well. Tausch, the will out-wildying Wildy notwithstanding, I think his answer is exactly what you want to hear, right? It's that, hey, we're going to figure this out. We've got other good players. I was talking to Evan Williams yesterday, and Evan Williams said, you know, it's borderline.
Is he playing?
I don't think he is. My gut tells me no. Okay. But he said, you know, it's borderline offensive that you guys think that we lose one guy and we're going to crumble. And he points at Micah Parsons. Wait a minute. He points at Micah Parsons' locker and says, even if he's a Hall of Fame guy, we still are able to figure some things out here. Now, again, it is a huge loss, which was why I thought it might be a dumb question that I asked what I did. But they do have other good players, and they got a pretty damn good coordinator. So what do you make of his response there?
That's how everybody should feel. I want everybody feeling that way. You know, Evan Williams should feel that way. But the bottom line is the dude that you're missing is an absolute freak. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason you pay guys $47, $48 million a year is because they are that big of a difference maker. This league is margin. The margins are so small even with that. You take that out, yeah, you can win and you can do things, but that doesn't mean that it isn't going to exaggerate your margin and what you need to be even more perfect with what you're doing. That's a hard thing to maintain consistently. So, yeah, this is exactly the attitude you want. You want a bunch of guys being irritated and saying, well, they must think we stink. You know, I've seen this movie before when we would not have Cliffy or if your stud left tackle's out and everybody, oh boy, gonna be a long day. Quarterback's gonna get drilled. And you ask everybody, you know, you want to, as a group, say blank you. We're still pretty dang good. Now, it's not disrespectful to those players. It's we want to also showcase what we can do. And that's going to be, I'm sure, what Jeff Hafley has talked about in front of his room all week. And hopefully that means there's even a little added juice to that room. But then you start saying, well, then if Evan Williams isn't playing, who's going to end up? Then Bullard moves back. Well, then who takes it? That chain reaction, that's a hell of a deal, too. So there's more to it than that. I love the fact that Evan Williams is telling you that, but there's a reason your star players are your star players. And when you take them out, you can rise up and do some things, but on a consistent basis, no, it's really difficult to try and accomplish what you're doing when you don't have that guy.
That's why Gina Della is the leader that she is for the team at Pella, to make sure that you are going to be a champion when it comes to windows.
And sure, your home remains comfortable before the brutal post-holiday winter, and Santa's magical, his elves, they're not as magical. They're not qualified to build Pella windows and doors. Pella's elves, they are, and they will install year-round and can finish installation in as little as a day. Pay 0% interest for up to 24 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, but hurry up, this deal ends December 31st. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWY.com. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details.
We'll hear more from Jeff Hafley next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWY.com/radio.
Continuing with the Jeff Hafley Show on Wildy and Tausch.
Boy, so, Rob's shot at you was... I gotta get... Rob's shot at you was really...
That was a 10 out of 10.
It reminded me of your relax, and then you came back with panic.
I beat...
But
yeah,
he
I said
really...
Panic relax,
it,
yep.
To jump in there on Packers.com and do it, very aggressive.
Like, yeah, you know what the best part of that was, though? And again, salute to you, Jeff Hafley. He didn't give him a courtesy laugh. Watch the tape.
We gave him a real laugh.
I know
no,
you
but
did.
I thought it was funny. Oh,
it was good.
I heard
yeah,
you.
I didn't need a courtesy laugh.
It
I heard
was
you.
Good.
Halfley,
did you laugh or?
No, I said that seemed unnecessary.
Oh, you didn't like it. Come on.
Oh, that's fun.
Guys, that's fun.
Just best buddies, 30 years together, just a couple of good buddies eating like sandwiches at their office.
Or like Abbott and Costello. Cute. We're like the Smothers Brothers. Yeah, we're a duo act.
Should have been here the first 28.
Smothers Brothers, again, just so we know, the Smothers Brothers did not do Smucker's Jelly, right? That was somebody else.
No. With a name like Smucker's, it has to be good. Which is actually, that was better than I thought I was going to say.
Confidence is very sexy. No,
that's a different
don't you think?
That's
different,
that's
though.
Still Palance. He does both of those. Doesn't
no,
he
doesn't. Now, all right. We want to hear more from Jeff Hafley. So Jeff Hafley arrives in the media auditorium. He knows what the first question is going to be. Obviously, he's not an idiot.
Evan Williams.
The question, of course, is going to be...
Rashawn Gary.
Is Rashawn Gary going to have set the sack record next year? No. It's going to be how do you fill the void that has been created by Micah Parsons' ACL tear. And this leads to, Jesse, did you time this out? It was 2.5 minutes?
Yeah, it's about 2.5 minutes of an opening statement from Jeff Hafley. It's the Hafley Time Show. Am I right?
But it's that good, frankly. Here is how Jeff Hafley... I tweeted out the video portion of it yesterday. You could see the smirk on his face, because he is gearing up for this bold prediction. We should see when he's the Giants coach next year if we can get him on the bold-a-thon.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because this is bold. Here is Jeff Hafley from yesterday.
You know, just kind of thinking back to, you know, a couple months ago, Micah just getting here. You know, obviously the injury has been talked about, and I think the biggest thing is this. The most important thing, and I said this to the team, for me, the most important thing about being a coach is, one, I want to do everything we can to win, right? That's number one. And then number two is to have your players have personal success. Like, that's like what drives me to coach, and I told them that. And unfortunately, injuries are a part of this game, and they're hard. And, you know, it's upsetting for that person. It's upsetting for the team. And, you know, I certainly feel for Micah. You know, he's a guy that came in here literally like 3 days before we played a game. Didn't even know him. Went training camp all off season and quickly developed a really good relationship with him. The amount of one-on-one time we spent talking football, just getting to know him, just the amount of respect I have for him and how he came in and worked and how hard he worked and how hard he played and how hard he does play in the run game, in the pass game, the way he strains. I just have so much respect for the guy, and I'm sad for the guy, but at the same time, I know that just knowing who he is, just wait until you guys see how hard he works to come back, how fast he probably comes back, and somehow I probably, if I were a betting man, would bet that he comes back even better and probably breaks the sack record next year. So I'm going to put that on Micah and myself, and you guys can put it out there. And that's the confidence I have in him. But it's certainly sad when anybody gets injured. As far as the team goes, I told them, you can't let circumstance dictate behavior. You know, it's just a week ago, we're in here after we beat the Bears, and we're all walking in here all upbeat and ready to roll. And I said, shame on you if you walk in here any different today. It's not who we are, right? And that's our job as leaders and as coaches to make sure that we don't do that. We got really good players. We've played good defense, and we're going to continue to play good defense. And our guys understand that. And I think it's important for everybody to understand that these guys have a lot of pride, and they're going to get even closer because of this, and they're going to play well. And our best players are going to step up. And the guys who haven't played a lot, that's been our job all year to develop those guys. So in situations like this, they're going to step up. And we're going to play hard, and we're going to coach hard, and we're going to do everything we can to win. You know, so that's my take on all this. But this is press on, full speed ahead, and we're ready to go.
Tausch,
let's go. Let's go. That's leadership.
Put yourself in the room, because that's basically, you hear him mention it, but he basically recited what he told his guys. So put yourself in the room listening to that as a former player who spent 11 years in the league. What are you thinking as you're sitting there as a member of his defense listening to that?
It makes you think, and it reassures you, listen, we've done this, we're a good defense. I think his messaging, and I've said this since he's been here, has been awesome. And again, as I said in the beginning of the show, this is what leadership looks like. Now, going out and doing it and executing it is much more important than all of this. But he is hitting all of the right chords, because players, I hate to tell you this, Jeff, there is a difference when you have a big win. You want everybody to act the same, but that's not the reality of being human. Mm-hmm. Guys, last week, we're going to walk in with a little more bounce in their step. And before LaFleur walks in, and I have not been in that new meeting room yet, but you'd always sit there, and Mike and Mike would both come walking through that bottom door through the gym, and guys, you'd be a little more chatty, and just everything's a little more juicy when you win. And when you lose, the meeting starts at 2:50. About 2:48, everybody shuts up and is sitting like this. You have a bad loss, everybody's like, oh, boy, I wonder what he's going to say. Oh, boy. And you want the coach to be steadfast. And, yeah, the coach, I want the coach to be the same person. I don't want him pouting and being emotional. And you know, I want the coach to come in and shoot straight with us, win or lose. And I want that coach to be even-keeled and say, we're going to work, we're going to do this, and we're going to continue on. And yes, you build off of success, and yes, you build off of failure, but I don't want that to be the case. I want my coach to be just like what Jeff Hafley did right there. You speak those things, and you can say them, but Jeff Hafley knows there's a lot of guys that came in that room on Monday. I guess it would have been, Monday, a little bit down, and that's okay. But understanding, wipe that, we got work to do. And I think that was the message that he said, and that's exactly what he needed to do.
All right, we've got one other thing that we want to play from Jeff Hafley coming up next, and then we're going to shift gears and start talking more Packers Bears specifically. Follow-up question for you before I read Adam's text. This is all great. You know how much I love this stuff. In the end, it's still just words, right?
Yeah.
So you...
But what do you always say about words, Jason?
Words matter.
Yeah, you do say that. I heard that.
Should have been here the first 28 years.
So you hear these
things. I think Domofsky crushed that.
It was a great line.
I do.
It's not that it wasn't a great line. And it's not that I was hypersensitive about it. I appreciated how good it was. No, it wasn't that. But I was.
Okay. You didn't laugh.
It's true. I didn't. I did not laugh. But all I cared about, as you know, is the answer.
It ended up being a great answer.
But I was worried that maybe the smartass two rows in front of me would derail the great answer.
And it didn't.
No, it didn't.
It did not.
Absolutely, it did
Bold
not.
Bold move.
Nope. Yeah. So it's all good.
It added.
Made it better.
It added to it.
If I may ask my question.
Yeah.
Now.
A little flavor.
Absolutely.
So we can continue to relive the zinger. So how do you convert it to action? Because you walked out of meetings and you felt inspired by whoever it might have been. I don't think you ever had Oz the Mentalist come into your building when you were
Bobby
playing.
Knight. Tom Crean.
Didn't you have
Bill Russell?
Didn't Sherman bring like some... Didn't he bring like a famous boxer in when you had a road game somewhere?
Yeah in Philly. I don't remember. His speech wasn't great. I don't remember who it was.
Okay,
it was
I'm not imagining that. That's what occurred.
No, that happened.
Okay, so what... How do
it
you
wasn't
convert
Clubber
that?
Lang. I was hoping for Clubber Lang. That would have been great.
A pity to fool. So, how do you convert that? Hey, now?
Can we agree on this before you ask your question? Of all the Rocky characters, you'd want to come in and speak to the team. Apollo Creed would be at the top of the list.
No doubt, 100%. R.I.P. Okay. Carl Weathers.
The robot.
Yeah, the robot. Tommy Gunn would have been.
God, was that an abomination?
Ironically, Rocky would have been the last guy you'd want to come in and speak to your team. In an ironic twist.
Adrian would give a terrible pep talk.
No, Drago. I'd want Drago to come in.
No,
he'd
Rocky
be great.
Over Drago.
I must kill you. I want you to kill the Giants.
Drago would go.
That would be, oh my God. You hear what Drago said?
Dan Campbell would bring in
Rocky
Drago.
Rocky'd be sitting there jabbering. I don't know what Rocky would even get out of his mouth. Yo, go beat them boys. Yo. All right, what's your question?
If this segment dies, it dies.
I think we power rank Apollo's top, and I think Rocky's at the bottom. But
no, Drago's behind him.
I don't know.
Be that as it may.
Where's Mr. T?
I just said Clubber Lang is two.
Good.
Jesse's not old enough to know who Clubber Lang is.
I just missed Mr. T's
character.
Clubber Lang's great, yeah.
All right, so... Never mind. Forget it. Let's do the Iron Shot.
What's the question? Don't do that. What's your question?
Well, no. How do you convert that into action? Like, the inspiration is great, but now you've got to actually make it matter. So how do players do that?
Well, I think that's where you get that scheme matched up with it. And guys are going to be highly motivated to go out there. But that's the trick. And to do that 1 week, you can play off of emotions. I say you can't. You only have so much emotional gas in the tank. If you're digging in for that every week, you are going to be spent. It's like when Kareem told Magic after he hit a game winner in game two of the regular season opener, and Magic is celebrating like a world champion championship. He's like, slow down there, big fellow. We got 80 more of these before even the playoffs. You want to have that excitement. You want to have it. But the bottom line is it's an execution thing. And this is where Jeff Hafley needs to kind of really be in his bag, as I've said. I think Jeff Hafley can be a big catalyst for that. And expanding roles and giving guys, finding those roles that maybe you don't know yet even have, that you have, and can help those guys execute and build some momentum. Because right now, there, even though everybody is chomping and you listen to Hafley and you're excited, there's still guys in that locker room that are more than likely looking at it with some doubt. How are we going to replace this? Mm-hmm. How are we going to pressure? How are they going to attack us? And I would bet the secondary is probably at the top of that list, because you can see they attacked routes and they jumped stuff. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that if you're going to just rush four. And then can you do that when you rush five? There's a lot there. But the bottom line is you want to have, make sure the guys have the right mentality. That gives you, as Chili would say, a chance to have a chance. Then guys have to go execute it so they see it and they build confidence. And the timeline is tight for Hafley to pull this off.
The timeline is also tight to take hundreds of calls for our Iron Jock contest, but we do it anyway.
Oh, boy.
Two of them, Jason, today, by the way. Two of them. One now, yeah, one later.
I don't know what to do here, because I'll say this. We did 212 yesterday. That's a lot. That's a lot.
But you helped.
Jesse, how many miles is it from Chicago to Gary, Indiana?
I will look that up for you while you tell us about
Iron
Jock.
We will do that 1 second. We're going to go with just a nice, easy. How many wins do the Green Bay Packers have in the Packers-Bears series? It's got to be 111. Does that sound about right?
I have the Gary to Chicago distance.
All right, what's the
do
Gary,
do
Indiana?
That one now?
Yes, what is that one? Yes.
31.
Is wow. That it?
Ah, great.
All right. We're going to add Rashawn Gary's number to that.
What?
No, 31
Josh
is
was expecting that number
one
to be bigger.
I thought 31 miles is nothing. That's child's play.
They should go to Gary.
All right, here's the deal. Caller 31. I asked Jesse, we're doing two. Caller 31, 844-770-3776. If you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, you just want to upgrade your own gear, check out the sales going on right now at Iron Jock. You know, I'm a big believer in their performance apparel. It's tough, comfortable, and thanks to their exclusive Silver Ion technology, it fights stink. And if you have hockey kids in your family, you know that's a good thing. And they have great deals across their entire lineup, hoodies, tees, shorts, and more. Don't wait. Save big at ironjock.com. That's ironjock.com. Work as hard as you do right now. You get a chance to win this beautiful, and I mean it is a beautiful, Iron Jock tumbler. Caller 31. I think Jesse's probably done with it already.
What
Caller
am I doing
31
with all
to win that
time?
Iron Jock tumbler. 844-770-3776.
The good news is when we play this again later in the program, the Green Bay Packers and the Bear Down Chicago Bears have met. This will be the 212th meeting, yep, between the two teams. So this is what,
like 125?
Tausch wants even this number to be big. The all-time regular season series, Packers 108 wins, Bears 95, and six ties, postseason 1-1. So the Packers have won 109 of these meetings at this point.
That'll be the
so
number.
So be prepared for that. And be prepared for more Wilde and Tausch. Straight ahead, stick around.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Uh, In the ESPN Madison YouTube highbrow conversation, there appears to be a Bears fan who has infiltrated the group.
Oh, I like that. I like when they do that.
So they're
probably really nice and friendly, huh?
Very friendly, yes. Very cordial.
I got thrown into it, and I knew this was going to happen. Pablo kind of hovering around yesterday, you know, wanting me to respond to Cap's take. And I knew that this was going to be something. Put it on Cap basically saying the Bears are great. Yep, yep, yep. Caleb Williams, the greatest quarterback ever. Yep, yep, yep. And I just said there's not a general manager in the league that would take, as we sit here today, you take contracts out of the equation. Nobody would take Caleb Williams over Jordan Love. And a lot of Bears fans coming at me with, you know, dumb, you know, what I think are dumb takes back.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What I said is not something crazy. I would bet if you ask Ryan Poles, who's playing quarterback at a higher level right now, he would tell you off air, yeah, it's Jordan Love.
Right.
But no blank.
He whisper it like that, you think?
Yeah, well, you don't want it to be on the record. So I don't understand that. And people come at you like you're – so that's why I'm always a little leery to do that, because then you end up getting clogged up.
Yeah.
And I got a little cloggage in the Twitter
sorry
sphere,
to hear that. Which sounds painful.
Twitter cloggage is the worst cloggage.
So, all right, one more from Halfley, and then we do want to talk about what the Bears.
The Gary Bears.
Gary Berry, former teammate of yours, draft classmate,
yeah.
I think.
He was a yes, indeed.
Safety from Ohio State. We'll get to the Gary Bears in a moment, but one more from Halfley before we do. And you know, again, obviously both Tausch and I hold him in high regard, so the things he says are interesting to us. Among the things, he did this yesterday, and again, he willdy. God bless him. We get the two question warning, and then he says, "Do you guys have anything else?" And he points right at me and says, "Do you have anything else?" And one of my rules is that we can never leave questions on the table. We're always fighting for more access, more availability. So when there is some, don't say, "No, I'm good." So I asked about JJ Enagbare because I. And he will once again underscore something that the great Mark Tauscher said on this very program about a certain play in the last Bears game. Here is Jeff Halfley on JJ the Jet Plane.
Anybody else? One more.
What do you think of what you've gotten from JJ so far, and how much, again, he can't replace Micah, but how much can he help you with a little more opportunity?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up JJ. I think JJ's played really well. I mean, really well. Setting the edges, making key plays like the one he did make in the Bears game on a 3rd-and-1 when he tackled the back behind the line. I think he's rushed really well. I think he's been a great teammate. He's practiced hard. I think he's done a really good job. And, you know, in that group, you know, I talked about RG last week. And like I said, there's just going to be other guys that get some more opportunities. And I just, like, I think my biggest message is that to – as I kind of close this out, is we're all upset about Micah. Like, I get it. I would be upset about any of our players. And I understand the magnitude that we're all talking about. At the same time, this is a confident defense. It's a prideful defense with a lot of good players. And if we have to adapt and we have to change and we have to do other things, we will. And if we don't, we won't. But we're going to play hard. We're going to run to the ball. We're going to tackle. We're going to get off blocks. And we're going to do everything we can to win games, period.
That was a question about JJ Enagbare, yeah. But he made it a bigger picture
about him
closeout. Again, that's what you're talking about here, right? The leadership thing. Like, just to close this out, he says, and then he delivers another kind of inspirational talking to the team as well as the media type response. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah. You read it exactly right, and the JJ Enagbare piece of it is opportunity for other guys to step up and, you know, that have earned opportunities. And I'm glad he continues to you know, people, when I said that on the postgame show, that that third and one saved the game because it changed the whole, everybody was, you know, saying, oh my God, they mismanaged the clock. They did this. No. JJ Anagbare changed their plans. And at the end of games, your plans, you don't have a ton of options. Your variables are one and two. And you expect to get that first down, and then you have all these different options. Well, JJ didn't allow that. That's why that was such a critical play. And then you put him in a fourth and got to have it, and they didn't get it. And so I want to see more from him. He's going to get more opportunities. But this is where Hafley, he just gets it. He's been in front of that room, and there is no – you can be a great leader, and you can be a great spokesperson. You can have – the more reps you get at this stuff, the better you're going to be, and he's done it. And that is a big part of your job. Now, having the schemes and having the adaptability and all that, that is more important. But messaging to your team and having buy-in, you know, Barry Alvarez was great at it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels, Jeff, I'm telling you right now, players notice, and you can get players to really buy in when they know what you're thinking because you've done it consistently so long. And I know Jeff hasn't been here long enough to probably, and you have so much turnover, but man, that is the message you want. And with a confident group and with all of the things that he said, I'm guessing there's a reason why his guys play as hard as they do. And this group, you can say what you want about them. Is there some limitations in coverage? Is there some limitations in pass rush outside of Micah? Those things are all true. But one thing I haven't been able to say is that effort and running to the football has been phenomenal. It's been really good. Mm-hmm. And a big reason why they don't give up big, long runs. They don't give up a ton of big plays outside of double moves on the outside. They don't. And that's a lot of it has to do with effort.
That tells you about buy-in. That's exactly right. And we've got buy-in when it comes to Kohler Services. Tausch has even worked on the crew in the past.
I have. It was a heck of a day back in, I think it was June. Me and Chris and the whole team, we demoed, we did the whole thing. It was a phenomenal day. And you know what? If you need a new bath or shower remodel, Kohler Services is the place to go. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. This month only, your Lugstone shower remodel. You get zero interest financing for 12 months, plus a free shower door. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com. That's the only time that this royalty-free music has really hurt and affected me, is that I can't do the Gilligan's Island theme song with the free shower door.
You can sing that.
Well, we don't know for sure.
Don't call their toilets the Super Bowl of toilets, and you're fine there.
I was just gonna say it's getting to that time of year again. You got to be very careful about that too.
I mean, some of their toilets do have Super Bowls. Like, it's pretty.
It is a thing. You know how much he worries about that, the violations. You know what you should really do is bring up Michael Buffer, because that's always smart, too.
No, don't even.
Whoa, Nelly!
We don't joke about that around.
No, that dude has got the best.
We don't
whoever
joke
his
about
peop-
Buffer. No, no.
Whoever
no.
his people are.
Whoa, Nelly.
Stop it. Whoever his people are.
You need people
you
like this.
You don't want to mess.
They are better than the elves on the shelves.
Are always watching. We'll talk about the Gary Bears. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
I'm gonna say let's continue our search.
Like, how many of them can you name?
It feels like there's no royalties with this, which is shocking to me. I feel like there should be with this song.
Royalty free, baby.
Well, you get what you pay for. So speaking of getting what they pay for, can someone explain to me, like I'm a six-year-old, what the hell the Bears are doing? Is this some sort of leverage play?
Yeah, it has to be. I think so. Here's the deal. I think initially they brought Kevin Warren in and pulled him from the Big Ten, which has been a huge loss for the Big Ten.
Ugh.
And I think his job was to get a stadium built. His job was to build a stadium.
Yep.
And to run the Bears, whatever. I don't know how much involvement. I don't know how all that works. But there was the hope, I believe, that they would just redo Soldier Field and do it up a little bit better, have a bunch of, you know, hotels and things right there. But it's pretty landlocked. So they buy up Arlington Racetrack, the old dog track.
Yep.
I've spent a lot of time down there, a lot of hockey rinks in that area. And they could basically turn it into a title town type spot. And they could still claim, because it's a suburb, that it was Chicago. I think everybody kind of understood that. They could leverage both against each other, get as much as they could out of either, and then build it. And that was kind of the thought.
And they will
come.
And
it seems as if the governor or whomever, the mayor, whatever it might be, the politicians down there have no incentives to give billionaire owners money to build a new stadium. And you could say that's a good idea, it's a bad idea. Everybody's got their thoughts, right? Nothing is happening. And it sounds like Kevin Warren's not getting what he wants out of Arlington because they want to go to Arlington. That's what they want to do because it would be best for them long term.
Right.
And now they bring up old Indiana. And I saw last night the old state of Indiana, Northwest Indiana, which I don't know. That's Gary, Indiana. I don't know exactly where that is. But
31 miles from Chicago.
31 miles from Chicago, which is a lot less than I thought. Seems much more tenable and open to playing with the Bears ownership. So my guess is they're going to leverage that. The Bears, the state of Illinois doesn't want to lose the Chicago Bears. They will come to some terms that are probably better than what they want, than what the city wants to give, and the state, and they'll end up building in Arlington down the road. But it's going to be gnarly and nastier than I think they wanted it, and that's why this got leaked. Which again, this is a news dump deal. If I'm the Bears. They do it 2 days before the biggest game they've had in quite some time at home.
Yeah. Why?
The whole thing is intriguing to me.
Yeah. Help me understand the timing.
Well, here's the deal. Somebody got wind of it and they were going to go with it, so the Bears got out in front of it. It sounds like somebody from the Tribune had some info, wanted
Reporters.
To put it, was going to put it out preemptively. So the Bears said, "Well, we're going to be the ones. Kevin Warren is going to be the one that puts this out and." Whether or not that was a smart move or not, we shall see.
The New York Jets and the New York Giants play in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. This is basically taking a page out of that book, right? Their version of playing, being the New York team playing in New Jersey. This would be the Chicago team playing in Northwest Indiana.
So what I think they should do, and I'm not in the business of giving a bunch
Free
of
advice.
Great ideas to Illinoisans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The White Sox need a new stadium. Build the big dome. They're going to do a dome, which, again, makes me sad, but it's going to continue to give Green Bay more advantage, in my opinion.
Okay.
Do it where you can easily transform it baseball and football so it's used more and have it down over in that area. It would be – I think that's – you can do that in Arlington. Go ahead and do that, and you're going to end up doubling up. That's what I would do if I was them. I doubt they will. And I personally hope they end up in Gary, Indiana, or somewhere in Northwest Indiana. Because then I think you have to start seriously looking at, if that is indeed the case, I think you have to look at realignment. The Colts need to be in the same division then.
Oh, my
God.
Hold up.
The Colts need to be. You have to. If you're going to do this. I think that's a natural rivalry that needs to be a part of it. The Colts then need to come in. You're going to go to five division teams. You expand in London. The NFL's going to expand, Jesse. Like, who are you kidding? And when you do, I think the Colts are going to get brought in to the NFC North with us because that Bears-Colts rivalry, the battle for the Hoosiers or whatever they want to call it, it's going to be in play, and that's just how it's going to be.
You mean just like how the Texans and Cowboys are in the same division, and just like the Jets and Giants are in the same division, and just like the Rams and the Chargers are in the same division?
They have they play.
That's a really good takedown, by the way.
Oh, so are the Browns and Bengals, are they in the same division?
Okay, you got one.
Okay.
How about the Buccaneers, Jaguars, and Dolphins?
Hey, different stadiums? Well, Florida's a big state. Indiana's not that big of a state.
Come on. You got to give him credit. That was pretty well played.
Also, the White Sox are going to move to Nashville.
That is potentially true. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, snap.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Jesse actually win.
He should have been here the first
28. What did he win? I'm not going to fight him on the fact those are facts. The Chargers and the Rams don't play because they're trying. I don't know why the NFL needs to go more geographical. Like, they need to get more. So does the NBA. Everything needs to get more geographical. As college football is spreading out, I think these professional leagues need to get more geographical because everything is becoming more hyper-local. And if you don't think that when and if the Bears build in Gary, Indiana, you need to get that rivalry brewing with the Colts, I think you're crazy. You're missing out. So the NFL, everybody's going to look at this in a big picture pretty soon. And when – first off, I said the Bears aren't going to leave the state of Illinois. They're going to get it worked out in Arlington.
We agree. Yep.
But if they don't and they end up in the state of Indiana, they need to play the Colts twice a year. And we need to re-examine and re-look at how we split up divisions. That's all.
Just like the Steelers and Eagles.
You just can't stop.
I think that's the last one. I think I'm out.
You're telling me that you have a Florida division where you have Tampa, Miami, Jacksonville, and then, I don't know, you throw Atlanta. I don't know how that all works. Yeah, that's dumb, and you know that. So we'll see how it all shakes out.
One final follow-up question, if I may.
Yeah.
The Packers have a historic stadium. We have the Ice Bowl. We have all the history and all the, you know, the Snow Bowl, all that, okay?
Yep.
Let's say Lambeau Field wasn't the hallowed ground that it is.
Okay.
Put yourself in a Bears fan's perspective for a second. As a fan, as a goer to football games, would you rather have a dome too? Like, if this happens as planned, the Packers will be in a division, barring the Bears moving to the same division as the Colts.
No, the Colts. The Bears and I just want to be crystal clear. The Bears-Packers are never splitting up. I want to be crystal clear. The Colts would be joining us.
So we're booting someone from the division?
No.
No, we're
going to go to a five-team division.
He's going to add eight teams to the NFL.
No. You're going to end up with 34 divided. What is 34? we'll have to figure that out.
Good luck. Matt and Beaver Dam, the Gary Bears could put a big G on their helmet. They could.
Apparently they like green and gold.
Let's leave the Colts where they are, although they play in a dome too. The Bears, the Vikings, and the Lions, oh my, would all be in domed stadiums. If the Packers did not have such an iconic home, would you rather they had one too?
No. No. Here's what I would say. This is going to, as stadiums continue to age, there is a very good chance that the Green Bay Packers will be the last and only open-air stadium. Because I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, because you have already four or five times, and fair.
Very well,
the Bills is The Bills is retractable, or is the Bills open-air?
Bills is going to be retractable.
Okay. So that would be the one spot. You're looking at, basically, there are going to be no teams left outside of the Packers that will be in the elements on a consistent. Because when and if Cincinnati, Cleveland is doing a new stadium, they're doming it. once Cincinnati, if those whatever ends up doing something, which I bet would be in 50 years, they're not doing anything, I would guess they're going to go retractable or dome. And then you start looking, where are we at? Tennessee. They don't snow much in Tennessee. They're going dome. Where's there going to be a cold weather stadium that's going to be open air? It ain't going to happen.
There's Lambeau's a dome in Arizona.
Last man standing.
Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, New York, both of them. San Francisco gets a little weather sometimes.
Jesse, I just said the next stadium comes, when they're all, Philadelphia Stadium's 27 years old. You don't think they're going to be asking for something? Of course they will. Pittsburgh Stadium's pretty old. When they do, maybe Pittsburgh will be one that sticks with it, which would be great. But if you don't think the New York operation wishes they would have domed it, you're crazy.
You're 100% right on that. Heinz Field, I think you're right. I think we could wind up with Lambeau and Acrisure Stadium, which opened in 2001, to Tausch's point. So Pittsburgh is not a brand new stadium by any stretch. I think you might be right.
I like Josh's idea.
Josh and indoor Harlan, maybe and the NFL should have an indoor conference and an outdoor conference.
You have an indoor championship, like an indoor cup, and then the outdoor cup. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So and then the Bears and the Colts could be in the same division because they both play indoors by then.
Oh, yeah.
If you're indoors.
Or whoever loses, how about you do this? Whoever loses the AFC championship and NFC championship have to go play in the last cold weather's place to see who takes third place. How's that?
You're an idea, man. There's no doubt about that.
That's not a great one.
No,
I'm not gonna
it wasn't.
Lie to you.
No. I didn't want to. I know that, you know, you're very sensitive like me, so I didn't want to say that.
Jesse, I'll give Jesse credit. He beat me on that one. Joshy's texting. I'm getting texts.
He KO'd you pretty good. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Can't win them all.
But
it's
you're
okay.
Telling me
you
don't want
spinxed.
The Colts. If they go to Northwest Indiana, the Colts and Bears need to be playing each other, period, thin. I can't wait until the NFL redraws its geography lines. Jesse, I will come back at you bigger and better than ever.
You've been waiting a while.
But it's
talk
not
to you in 2056.
What, let us know when you figure out what your divisions are going to look like with your 34 teams. How you're going to balance that out while you're at it.
I love the fact that you don't think the NFL is going to take on more expansion. Like,
I agree that they are. No, I think you're right.
It's been a minute. It has been a minute since they've expanded.
It's also been a minute since
22 years, 23 years, I think.
Yeah. Right? Almost as old as Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh.
Get into Steinhoffel's and test rest a Beautyrest Black mattress for your chance to win a dream vacation to Hawaii. Maybe they'll expand to Honolulu. And right now, you'll save up to...
They took the Pro Bowl away from them. They're not expanding to Honolulu.
Oh, Honolulu's where we draw the line.
No. If you guys don't see that it's going to be London, like, come on. You see where this is going, but you just want to keep your head in the sand. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jason.
Right, so why not Honolulu?
I just told
the
you.
The Bears why. And the Colts can be in the same division with them. Get into Steinhoffel's and test rest a Beautyrest Black mattress for your chance to win that dream vacation to Hawaii's expansion or not. And right now, save up to $700 on adjustable base sets. Plus, get up to $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. But wait, there's more. You can get a queen Beautyrest Black mattress for just $38 a month with Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. So save big and rest easy. A new Beautyrest Black from Steinhoffel. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. The 10 o'clock hour, we were clicking on time. And then
so
we
how
rolled.
On earth did we go this long without
because
guests?
You moved the Colts to the to the division.
Yep.
That's how we got there. And Jesse spinxed you.
Got us another 10 minutes. Is that what you're telling
me? You could have tapped out, but you decided to dig in a little more and extend the game, and here we are.
It's all good. More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.